MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. I'm Jamie Taylor Burnett. He's a research lead Americas for the World Gold Council. The Gold Mid-Year Outlook 2026 has just been published. Taylor, appreciate the time. Gold set, what, I think a dozen all-time highs this year. Got above $5,500 intraday in late Jan. Since then, under pressure. But the biggest story is, if I zoom out and worry less about perhaps a six-month chart, but if I look at a one-year or two-year, I mean, 3 years ago, gold was sub 2,000. It has doubled in the 3 years.
Yeah, no, and thank you again for having me on. And you know, I think that's a really good point to think about, right? We all get stuck in this, the short-term noise and all the, you know, the trading dynamics that have happened in the near term. But to your point, right, look at where we were 2-3 years ago. Even if we took the last half of 25 in the first half of this year, gold's still one of the best performing assets. Yeah. Right. And so while the correction has been notable and we've been talking about it a lot and you hear it in the media, you know, it was also to a degree somewhat warranted, right? We got to have a little bit of mean reversion. Mm-hmm. We got to settle down. We got to bake in the rest of the news. And essentially that's kind of what it was showing, is everything up until, you know, the precious metal sell off, you know, in late January, early February, to the, you know, Iran conflict. You know, U.S.-Iran conflict in late February going into March, all that started to get priced in, all that run-up. You kind of had an idea that the geopolitical risk was playing out and everything was getting baked in. So yeah, now that we look at it, we look at the current gold price right now is essentially baking in everything that's already happened, right? All the rest of the drawdown has happened. And so yes, it's been a great 2-3 years, and it's been a little bit more choppy last two, three months. But overall, I think to your point, what I would say is we got to remember the long term. We got to remember where we came from. And we still believe the long term story is intact for gold.
100%. And your analysis from the World Gold Council saying that if conditions do not change materially, and I appreciate there's a big if there, but let's take that as a given, you're looking at gold trade around $4,100, give or take 5%, but sort of in the $4,100, all things equal.
Yeah. Here at the council, we don't, you know, give a specific price forecast that maybe, you know, that you see like a lot of, you know, the sell side and traditional research houses will put together. But yeah, like we would like to put things, you know, in ranges and bands and kind of give an idea of where we think things could go. And to your point, the macro are the base case kind of to a degree, which we don't really use. We just, you know, would call this more of the macro consensus. Mm-hmm. Everything that's being baked in, to your point, plus or minus 5%. We maybe trade sideways here. And then if things deteriorated more, then, you know, there's a case for the upside and we can dive into that. Or if things go the other way, there's a downside. So the upside, we would say anywhere from 5 to 20%, and the downside anywhere from another 5 to 15%. But ultimately, you know, what's been nice to see, even on the range bound, you know, macro market consensus view, is what's been good to see is you've been seeing a lot of support around that 4,000 level.
Yeah.
And it's also worth noting is a lot of that buying does tend to happen in Asia trading session hours or in Europe, right? And so you're starting to see different parts of the world. And it really highlights, you know, we look at things, you know, being based in the US, everybody wants to talk about what's going on here. But gold's a global asset. Mm-hmm. And you got to look at it through why other regions and why other countries are buying gold and why central banks are doing what they're doing. And so, yeah, it's been really good to see that, you know, if we see selling in the U.S. sessions, we usually typically start to see buying the next day out of Asia and then into Europe.
Yeah, I found that fascinating part of the research report. Pushing it higher, I mean, for gold to sort of go beyond the band that you're talking, I mean, this really is around, you know, watch the economy. And if we see worsening geopolitical conditions, deterioration there, reversal in interest rate expectations, these are the classic drivers for gold.
Exactly, right? And all these sorts of drivers are always going to be more of your near-term impacts and effects, right? And that's why we started to see this most recent pullback, right? Well, I was saying earlier, you know, we believe the long-term, you know, story remains intact, central bank diversification, broader portfolio diversification, things like that. But yeah, to your point on what could push it higher, you know, at the beginning of the year, the whole story was, okay, the Fed's got to cut, the Fed's got to cut, the Fed's got to cut. Yeah. Then we have the oil price shock and we have the conflict. And then you have all this, you almost have this perfect storm, which all hit all at once. That's what drove gold back down lower, right? So if we continue to see more geopolitical tensions re-arise, right? It doesn't necessarily mean the U.S. and Iran or the Middle East. It could be a resumption of things going on in Europe or anywhere else, places we were not even thinking of. Any of those sorts of shocks should, again, help push gold higher. If we see a reversal in the interest rate expectations, that should also be another, you know, positive. Right now, you know, at the beginning of the year, we were sitting here looking at the Fed and they said, hey, you know, you have a dual mandate. Let's look at rates. I mean, let's look at inflation and let's look at labor. Labor started to show great, you know, great signs, but then you have an oil price shock and inflation's moving higher. So all of a sudden now rate cuts are off the table, rate hikes are on the table, and obviously higher opportunity costs makes gold less attractive. But again, as things are starting to stem, you know, you start to hear some commentary from the Fed that maybe this is transitory, whether or not you believe in the whole transitory narrative and wording of things, right? But essentially it's, hey, we got to see the data. We got to see how it's going. And let's also see, how does this Fed act, right? We've been so accustomed to years with Powell. It'll be really interesting, you know, to see how Warsh handles everything. I also, you know, would always caveat that, well, hey, it's one person changing it at the helm, it is a committee, right? So it's important to look at what everybody's saying and what everybody's thinking. So to your point, it's worsening economic or geopolitical conditions, a reversal in interest rate expectations. And then again, just long-term investor participation. As I was saying, there are signs that people are stepping in to buy these dips. And that's really helpful.
And of course, central bankers who've been big buyers over, I was going to say the last few years, truthfully, about a decade or so that they've been up in there buying. You had the central bank gold reserve survey earlier in the year, and central bankers are saying, yep, this is likely to continue. We saw a bit of selling. We saw some swaps in Q1. But in the longer term trend, central banks are still there and still going to be buyers.
Yeah. And I would really point all of your listeners to our recent central bank survey. It's a masterclass in being able to see what everybody's thinking. And there's a lot of effort that goes into it. But yeah, central banks is a key wild card to, you know, kind of think about. Essentially, prior to the Russia-Ukraine conflict, you know, central banks were adding roughly on average 400 tons a year. Mm-hmm. And since that, we were seeing on average anywhere from 1,100 to 1,000 tons. Now, while we don't necessarily expect, and we can't expect 1,000 tons of central bank buying every single year since, you know, 2022. As long as we start to, you know, as long as we still see central bank demand, in our analysis, we think an additional 20 to 30 ton increase in reserves above the long-term average, or around, essentially that roughly means 600 tons per year, which translates roughly into another 1% increase in the gold price. This is the way you can kind of think of every 20 to 30 tons. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm a little long-winded, but essentially we're saying, hey, as long as we see 600 tons or more on the central bank side, we think that's supportive for demand.
A last question, midterm elections in the US coming in November. Is there any sort of precedent or data in terms of potential impact?
Yeah, so there's no real strong signal when it comes to US elections, other than the fact that when you do have a Democrat administration, you know, running, you typically tend to see gold buying pick up in the physical area, right? Bar and coin demand tends to pick up. And that's really because in the US, you know, we tend to see more Republicans being gold buyers than Democrats. Mm-hmm. That's not to say that's not the case everywhere, but you tend to kind of get that. You tend to have Republicans lean more towards being open to buying gold when they start to see a Democrat administration going through. Now, in this current situation, we're looking like it's going to be more of a, depending on how things work, we have a split Congress, but we have a Republican in office. So far, the data hasn't shown any real signs of pickup. Mm-hmm. In fact, so far during Trump's presidency, we've seen, you know, limited bar and coin buying, you know, in recent weeks. But again, you tend to see that here in the US. And that's not the case, obviously, elsewhere. But, and again, it will be something to look at. But the one thing I will flag, aside from just do midterms or do elections impact gold, a split Congress, though, also can add volatility, right? And so if things don't get done, and if things aren't, you know, things aren't getting passed, and there's debates, or things start to deteriorate, or they trying to bring in power, or you know, wean in some of the power and direction that the administration is going, that to a degree can be viewed as a potential geopolitical risk or volatility, you know, that we could see. While it's not directly going to, we haven't seen any evidence that it directly impacts physical demand buying, again, unless it's during a Democrat administration or Democrat control, it could, though, still send signals throughout the market and things could change. And so it will be one of those things, well, hey, we'll have to watch and see. But again, it's one of those wild cards where it may be an impact, but it may be a nothing burger. You know, it could go either way.
We'll find out in November. We'll leave it there. That's Taylor Bonetti's research lead, America's World Gold Council. Appreciate the time.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions.